Hello, everybody. Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday evening. Carmen, it was great to hear your voice. Dove, it's great to hear your voice, too. It's also wonderful to hear you list, like, even the evening lineup here. I mean, we're so blessed to have Pal Talk, really. It's just such a rich place to come. Thank you, Dove, for all that you do so that we have ACIM gather. Before I get started, I want to give everyone a link. This is a new website that I have, a website that Phil Frisk gave me. I don't think I've spent a lot of time telling people about it yet, so I kind of want to share the word. I'm giving you the link now, but for the recording, it's http://conferences.forholyspirit.org. So that's http://conferences.forholyspirit.org. Conferences.forholyspirit.org. Kind of an unusual website address having the two dots in there. We're used to the .org, but this time it's .forholyspirit.org. But one reason I wanted to share this, Phil gave it to me so that I could easily list all of the events that are associated with the Foundation for the Holy Spirit, because there's getting to be more and more events, and the way I was doing it was, just not very professional. You had to scroll way down on one page forever to read all the events. So he's given me this website. It's actually still just a blog, so even with my limited technical ability, I can manage it, although it's not as pretty as if I knew more. But it has all the information, and you don't have to scroll forever. Right now, I think I have around 8 events on the website. The very first one is coming up in February 2010, and that's an NTI workshop in Wimberley, Texas. Then in March 2010, there's an ACIM conference in Costa Rica. A lot of my friends will be at the Costa Rica conference with me. Let's see, including Gary Renard, Nick Arandez, Linda Jean McNabb, Pamela Silberman, Earl Purdy, Donna Marie Carey, and, of course, more. And then in May 2010, Larry Sire and I are hosting a 5-day silent retreat in New Hampshire. I'm really excited about this. I've never even been to a silent retreat before, otherwise hosted one, but the guidance came last June, the guidance for the format of the silent retreat. And you can read about the format and all of the information there on the website. But I'm excited about that retreat. I'm really looking forward to it for myself. Hopefully y'all will come and be silent with me, but I'm really looking forward to it for myself, a 5-day silent retreat. And then that's followed immediately in May by Miracles Weekend in New Hampshire, which used to be called Camp for Miracles. And again, there'll be several friends there with me, including Jane Darcy, Earl Purdy again, Jody Ebling, Kathy J., Douglas McIntyre. And I don't know how, but somehow Ted Poppy got in on this one. I saw him saying a while ago that he wasn't allowed in San Francisco, joking about that. But of course, he will be with his wife, Vicky, speaking at Miracles Weekend in New Hampshire. So that'll be a lot of fun. And then August 2010 is Be the Love in Lynchburg, Virginia. Again, several friends, Pamela Silberman, Cheryl Valentine, John Mundy, Earl Purdy again. Earl and I are going to be friends, it looks like, working a lot together in 2010. Plus, we both live here in Colorado. Chuck Hillig, which may be new to many of you all. He actually is not a core student. He would be considered more a student of Ramana Maharshi. But of course, since it's all the same, his teaching is the same. He was recommended by Nuke Sanchez. And Nuke Sanchez will also be there along with Thomas Vieira, Victoria Eisner, and Donna Marie Carey. And then the next event that I have on the website is, this is kind of fun, kind of exciting, kind of different. September 2010, a tour of Israel. Going all over the Holy Land to, you know, all of the places that we've heard of and even some that I hadn't heard of. But, of course, we'll be going to Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem, the Dead Sea, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of the Beatitudes, many, many more places. The entire agenda is listed there if anyone's interested in that tour of Israel. And the man who is putting it together, his name is Kevin Fitzgerald. He is also a course student and course teacher, so he will be our tour director. And then the next event is Be the Love St. Louis, and that's in October 2010, again with Pamela Silberman, Cheryl Valentine, Earl Purdy, my new best friend. Linda Jean McNabb will be there, Dove will be there, John Mulrooney, Scott Kalickstein, and Kathy J. from New Hampshire. And then the last event that I have is the one that I'm sure all of you have heard about, February 2011, the ACIM conference. Marianne Williamson's going to be there this year. That's a little different. Many of the rest of us are the same crew. Of course, Dove and I will be there together. Tony and Larry will be there together. Carmen and Tom will be there together. Ian Patrick, John Mundy, Deborah and Paul Phelps, Mary and Robert Stolting, David Paul and Candace Doyle, David Hoffmeister will be there, Mary Gerard Linehan's, let's see, D. Patrick Meller, Linda G. McNabb, oh yeah, let's not forget Earl Purdy, Gary Renard, Pamela Silverman will be there. So all of those events, again, are on that new website, which I posted the link before, but I'll go ahead and post it one more time before I move on. Here's the link for the new website. Again, that's http://conferences.fourholyspirit.org. So I'll keep everything there. And Cliff says, I see Cliff, he's being silly. Cliff is always silly. He's saying, how are you going to talk in silent retreat? and can he be silent for just one day? Yeah, it's a 5-day silent retreat, but I was guided to a very specific format, and the format does allow a period of time after lunch every day where we break silence just to see if anyone needs help, to see if anyone needs help with what they're seeing in their mind or what they're feeling. So it's a short break in silence so that if anyone needs help, they can get it, and then we go back into silence again. So that's the silent retreat. So that's that. So I think that's everything I had for you guys. Let's see, I'm downstairs alone. I'm not home alone. Danielle and Jasmine are upstairs. They are, let me laugh at Donna first. My friend Donna, she's like to be smiling. I like to be smiling. Donna does enjoy talking, by the way. If you know Donna, you know that. And she says, I was silent for 1 month on 4 occasions last year. If I can do it, anyone can. So yeah, it'll be fun, I think, to come and be silent together in New Hampshire. But as I was saying, I'm downstairs alone. We have no guests right now, so it's really just Debbie, Danielle, Jasmine, and me. Debbie's out shopping right now, and Danielle and Jasmine are upstairs making a gingerbread house. We decorated the tree today, decorated our new fireplace, which Ron just put up for us on Friday, and now they're making a gingerbread house. So that's what's going on upstairs. we are here for Holy Spirit Guides, and Holy Spirit Guides is when we are looking at all of the messages that I've received from Holy Spirit to be helpful to me in my awakening. And right now we're in March 2006. I'm giving you a link to the very first message that we will be looking at today. The name of this message is Step Away from Reliance on Self. And, of course, that's the little S self. But before I begin reading the message, I'm going to take a drink of water and then go into prayer, invite Holy Spirit in to guide everything. Okay, here we go into prayer. Holy Spirit, I am grateful, and right now I'm feeling a specific gratitude for our opportunities to come together, to awaken together, all of the ways in which we are helpful to each other, as reminders of our true self, as helpmates, And even as the ones that push our buttons, as we say, help us to see what we need to look at. Holy Spirit, now I'm feeling prompted to ask for your help in helping us to remember that whenever we are upset to any degree and for whatever reason, it is always because of ego in our own mind. Help us to remember that is the only cause of upset, so that we do not really see our brothers as pushing our buttons. We do not see our brothers as annoying, frustrating, as liars, as cheaters, or anything else that the ego may want to cast out blame for. Let us see that whenever we are upset, Holy Spirit, it is always a blessing, because we are seeing once again the ego in our own mind. And it is our desire, Holy Spirit, to let go of that ego. If it was not our desire, Holy Spirit, we would be spending our time doing other things. So please help us in our endeavor, in our goal. Again, by helping us to realize that only our own ego filter can lead us to feel any kind of upset. And then, whenever we are feeling upset, please help us to see whatever is most helpful for us to see, and help us to joyously and gratefully release it. When it doesn't seem so simple, Holy Spirit, hold our hand as we let go more slowly. Help us to be grateful for the letting go process, regardless of whether it seems to be fast or slow. Either way, we are clearing off the filter. Either way, we are letting go of ego and allowing more clarity within the mind. Amen. Okay, good. So, again, nice to see you all. What I'm going to do, of course, is just begin reading this message. I've given you a link. I don't see any new names in the room, so I think probably everybody has it. If somebody needs the link again, let me know. I notice I have a note at the top of this link. Good, look at this stuff. It says, "This is a message that Holy Spirit shared with me shortly after I received guidance to work with David Fishman and Phil Frisk on the Foundation for the Holy Spirit." What happened for me, when I was originally guided to leave my job in Boston, my first step is I was guided to become the caretaker of the Foundation for the Awakening Mind with David Hoffmeister, and at the time Kirsten Buxton. She actually joined with David, I think, shortly after I received my guidance. When I originally received my guidance, I believe it was only David. Kirsten joined with him shortly after. So when I was with the Foundation for the Awakening Mind, as I recall, it was only David and Kirsten and me at that time. And I was with the Foundation for the Awakening Mind for about 9 months. During that period of time, David and Kirsten were doing a lot of traveling. So it was really helpful that I was there, because they would not have had the ability to manage the Foundation. They were traveling. After about 9 months, however, I received guidance to let go of my role in the Foundation for the Awakening Mind. And I did that. And I guess somebody else came along afterwards, immediately afterwards, although I'm not sure exactly what happened, but I know David has never been left without. So apparently when I was guided to leave, somebody else must have just stepped right in. And as you all know, David's doing fine, so everything there is in a perfect flow. But after about 9 months, I was guided to leave. And what was funny about that is that when I was guided to leave, the thought in my mind, the ego thought in my mind that kept trying to show up was, what are you going to do now? You know, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do next? It had a worry tone to it. And I could see my mind wanting to answer the question. I could see my mind wanting to plan, wanting to think about what I was going to do now, because I didn't leave the Foundation with a plan. I just knew it was time to leave the foundation, and there was no plan. And so my mind wanted to think about, what am I going to do now? And I literally, for at least a week, and maybe it was 2 weeks, somewhere between a week and 2 weeks, I literally walked around with a mantra. My mantra was, don't think. Because my mind wanted so much to think about, what are you going to do now? So I just kept saying to myself, don't think. Don't think. And underneath that don't think, there was a silent mantra that really was just trust. Trust. So what came along with the don't think was trust. And then one morning, approximately 2 weeks after I left the Foundation for the Awakening Mind, I was doing dishes. In fact, it seems to me like it was a Sunday morning, although I don't know that for sure. But I was doing breakfast dishes, and then all of a sudden, and completely unexpected, just like a wind, I don't know how else to describe it, it was just like a wind blew into my mind. I heard words. The only words I heard were the foundation for the Holy Spirit. But there was knowing that came with it, a lot of knowing with those words. I knew that I was to start a new foundation, and I absolutely knew that I was to ask David Fishman and Phil Frisk to join with me in this foundation. And it came with absolutely no thinking at all. It just blew into my mind like a wind. And what I sat down and did that day was write to David and write to Phil, explain the guidance to them, and ask them to join with me in this endeavor. And of course, as you guys know, they both said yes. And so that's kind of history. That's how the Foundation for the Awakening Mind came to be. So again, the message I'm about to read says that this is a message that Holy Spirit shared with me shortly after I received guidance to work with David Fishman and Phil Frisk on the Foundation for the Holy Spirit. I don't really remember exactly what shortly after means. It seems to me like it was a day or a couple of days after I originally received the guidance, but I don't know that for sure. I don't really remember. But let's go ahead and read this message from Holy Spirit. I'll give the link one more time because now I do notice that a few new friends have entered the room. So this is the link to the message. And I will begin reading now. There are still many unhealed places within your mind. You still have a desire for self-will and a desire to be your illusory self. Your dedication to me is strong. But your willingness is not complete yet. Through the operation of this foundation, circumstances will arise that will seem to bring the unhealed areas of your mind into awareness for healing. Remember that healing is the purpose for the awareness. As you see anything that is not the peace and joy of me, remember that it is presented to you for healing. Each opportunity for healing is an important part of your path. Seize each opportunity in the complete willingness of the moment, and your path to healing will be straight and without delay. Now, this particular paragraph is reminding me of my prayer. For those of you who are in the room, you know that I just prayed in gratitude and with a request for help on behalf of all of us as one. I prayed first thanking ourselves for being together in this process of awakening. And one aspect of how we help each other is by I called it being button pushers. You know, if my presence annoys you, or if your presence annoys me, or frustrates me, or makes me angry, or any of that, that is actually a blessing, as we know, although we forget. That is a blessing because we are here to let go of the ego. And when we're in the presence of each other, and we find ourselves being annoyed, or frustrated, or angry or hating each other. If we look at it with Holy Spirit, that is a blessing because what is happening is a part of our mind that has not been healed a part of our ego filter is rising up to be seen. And if we greet that in gratitude, instead of believing that our brother is annoying or frustrating, or as I said, a liar or a thief or whatever else may seem to be the case, if we realize that we are only upset because of our ego, we have another opportunity to let go of the ego. This is something to celebrate, truly. If that is our purpose, why not be grateful every time we see another little piece of the ego in our mind? Why not be grateful that we have another opportunity to let it go now? I mean, isn't that our purpose? Isn't that why we're here? And Holy Spirit has only one purpose for everything. Hi, Jasmine.
We finished.
You finished the gingerbread house. Is it nice? Good. Okay, well, give me a kiss. I'm not finished yet, and then I'll be with you in about an hour. She got icing on her jeans making the gingerbread house. Okay, go put them on the washing machine, and after I finish, I'll wash dishes, okay? I mean, wash clothes.
And then on my shirt.
And on your shirt, okay.
See?
Yeah. Okay. Hey, go take a shower, all right?
That's what I'm about to do.
Okay, love you.
Yeah.
All right. All right, as I was saying, oh, Nick's saying, can you have a piece of gingerbread? Well, one thing we haven't decided yet is if we're going to eat it in a couple of days or if we're going to leave it setting on the mantelpiece for the entire season and just enjoy it. Looking at it, by then we won't be able to eat it. So we'll see what Jasmine decides. It's really her gingerbread house. All right, so let me go back to what I was speaking about. The Holy Spirit's only purpose. I highlight the word only. The Holy Spirit's only purpose for the world is the healing of our mind. I paused after I said that sentence so that we could really listen within. The Holy Spirit's only purpose for the world is the healing of our mind. So when we are guided to do whatever we are guided to do in this world, whether it's to start a foundation, to plan a conference, to join in relationship with another person, to change jobs. It doesn't matter what it is. It still only has one purpose, the healing of our mind. So what Holy Spirit is telling me in this message is that that's the purpose of the foundation for the Holy Spirit, the healing of the mind. And Holy Spirit is saying, of course, through the operation of this foundation, circumstances will arise that will seem to bring the unhealed areas of your mind into awareness for healing. And you know, there have definitely been some. I don't know if I could sit here and recall them all, but a couple are coming to my mind now, and I'm kind of giggling. One had to do with, you know, being a part of the foundation. This, of course, is, it seems to be, this is how I came to be invited to speak in different places. I work for the foundation when I go to speak. And one thing that happened to me in this process of going to conferences and speaking is I began to get sick at conferences. This started, the first one, first time I got sick was actually in Beaumont, Texas, about 2.5 years ago, I think it was. It's hard to keep track of time. Yeah, I think it was about 2.5 years ago. Maybe a year and a half, I don't know. Probably a year and a half. But I got sick. I was able to teach, and I really didn't feel that sick when I was teaching. In fact, I don't recall feeling sick at all while I was teaching, although if you look at the videos, I think I look sick in the videos. But it seems like while I was teaching, I was fine. But as soon as there was a break, you know, while we were on break, I could feel that I was sick. And then I went to the very first Be the Love in Virginia, the very first one, Be the Love 08. And I was sick at Be the Love. And although most people didn't notice, there were people who noticed. I actually felt pretty bad, again, the entire time I was there, except for when I was teaching. Whenever I was teaching, it would disappear completely. And then I went to Wimberley, Texas after that. And I got very sick in Wimberley. In fact, so sick that I really felt I could not get out of bed and go teach. I really felt terrible. Fortunately, I was with Laurent at the time, and so I just asked Laurent to teach for me, and it worked out fine. We were supposed to teach together in both the morning and the afternoon. He took the morning, and by afternoon I was somewhat better. I was able to stand up and walk. And then again, as I started teaching, the sickness went away. I don't think, I'll talk about that in just a moment. But I was at least able to walk up to the area where I was teaching, and then the sickness went away once the teaching began. And then in San Francisco last year, Dove and I taught on Friday night. But on Saturday morning, I woke up and I was terribly ill. And what is interesting is that each time that I got sick, I seemed to be sicker than the time before. It was getting gradually worse. In San Francisco, I was, oh, you should have seen me. Oh, I think I was sick enough that I would have been okay if I had died. Some of you guys might know what that feels like. Just, oh. But on the fourth time getting sick at a conference, I finally got smart enough. Sometimes we're not so smart on this path. I finally got smart enough to ask Holy Spirit. Wow. After four times, I finally got smart enough to ask Holy Spirit why I was getting sick. And I got an answer immediately. Immediately. It came, you know, it was one of those answers that didn't come with words. It just was plopped into my mind. You know, just the knowledge was plopped there. But what I saw was that when I'm at conferences, a lot of people are very happy to see me. A lot of people come up to me, hugging me, telling me how much they appreciate the teaching, how much they appreciate NTI, you know, the CDs. And what was happening for me, what was going on in my mind so fast that until Holy Spirit showed it to me, I didn't see it. What was happening in my mind is that when people that I had not yet met, people, you know, like Lisa Hansen, for example, is in the room. Lisa Hansen is someone I know well. So if Lisa Hansen was to come up and hug me, I was fine. But if someone else that I had never met before came up and, oh, Regina, and they know my whole life story because they've listened to all of the audios and they've read NTI and they know me so well and I never met them, something in my mind was pushing that away. It's kind of like I had the world divided into friends and strangers. And when the strangers came up loving me, just like the friends did, I mean, they didn't see me as a stranger, right? When they came up loving me like a dear, dear friend, something in my mind pushed that away. And again, it was happening so fast, I wasn't even seeing it. But what happens at conferences is this happens over and over and over and over again. And each time I pushed it away, it was like I was hitting myself in the head with a hammer. And so what eventually happened is I was getting sick. And then as I was not looking at this, as I was continuing to deny it, and again, the denial doesn't appear to be conscious, but it is. But it doesn't appear to be conscious because you do it so fast you don't even see it. So as I was continuing to deny this pushing away more and more and more, I just got sicker and sicker and sicker. But when Holy Spirit showed it to me, it really was wonderful. It was really a wonderful, wonderful opportunity because when Holy Spirit showed it to me, I saw it. In other words, although I wasn't aware that this was going on in my mind, once it was shown to me, I could see that it was. It was no longer blind to me. And in fact, I did get a little better. By the end of Saturday in San Francisco, I was able to go downstairs. And as soon as I showed up downstairs, that started happening. People that I didn't know came up to me, very enthusiastic to see me, knowing my whole life story, knowing about Ron and Laurent and every little detail of my life, and telling me how it was helpful to them and all of that. And I would see it in my mind. I would see my mind wanting to push them away. But now, since Holy Spirit had helped me to see it, I had the opportunity to choose again. So I would see my mind wanting to push the person away, wanting to label the person as stranger. And then I would very quickly within myself say, no, this is not what I want. I want to welcome this person. And I could feel the walls that were trying to build within me fall, and I would welcome the person. And at first that was kind of a conscious practice when a seeming stranger walked up to me enthusiastically. I would see the desire to push away, then the realization that is not what I wanted, and the choice to welcome this person as my friend. It only took a bit of practice at that conference and at the next conference, and after that, welcoming everybody as my friend became my natural reaction. Those walls no longer went up. But that's just one example, one tiny example. I'm not going to talk all night about stuff like that. They're all the stories are similar, but different. But that's one example of a healing opportunity that's come up through my work with the foundation. So you see, it doesn't matter what we're doing. It doesn't matter if we're writing with Holy Spirit, if we are teaching with Holy Spirit, counseling with Holy Spirit, being unemployed with Holy Spirit, being in a romantic relationship with Holy Spirit, working a traditional job with Holy Spirit, being a parent with Holy Spirit. It all has the same purpose. And if we allow Holy Spirit to show us why we are in pain, whether it seems to be a physical pain like the one I was experiencing at conferences, or whether it seems to be an emotional pain, a sadness, an annoyance, a frustration, an anger, a hatred, a fear. If we allow Holy Spirit to show us why we are in pain, then we give ourselves the opportunity to let go of the ego. Let me see. I think I can only half see the board because I have it covered up, but I think I see something I want to read. Ah, yes, I do. Honeybee Rose. How did you choose differently, and did you feel guilt before you did? Those are excellent questions. The way I chose differently, I can only describe it as a simple decision. A simple decision. Again, first, I would now see what I didn't see before. I would see that when someone came up to me to hug me, that something inside of me was pushing them away. So my first reaction, Honeybee, was still to push. I mean, that happened so fast I couldn't stop that. The first reaction was still to push the person away in the head. Like I said, I never physically did that. I always hugged anyway. But that first reaction, those walls going up, was the first thing that happened anyway. But now I was aware of it. Now I was able to like pause within and give my attention to that part of me that wanted to push people away. And then I was able to say, that's not what I want. It's not what I want. I know it's not what I want. I don't want to push people away. It was just a simple realization of what I want. And then, after realizing what I want, I was able to make a different decision, and I would choose within my mind to welcome this person. I might take a breath and open my arms and welcome the person. But now, I was consciously hugging out of choice instead of hugging with that desire, that unseen desire to push away still beating inside of my head, you know, still beating me up. So it happens very, very fast, but it's like a 1-2-3 process. One, first I see and do not deny the thought that's in my mind. Two, I realize that thought is not what I want. And then three, I make the choice for what I want. And you're asking, was there resistance? This particular letting go was not difficult. It took a bit of practice because there was already a habit in place of pushing people away. So it took a bit of practice, but I did not have a resistance to that. There was nothing, there was no real resistance. I just had to practice until the habit changed, I guess I would say. But in the past, there have been other letting goes that had strong resistance. The one that's coming to my mind now, which I think I talked about recently, but I'll talk about it again. The one that's coming to mind now is when I happened to see another teacher lie. Lie. And I had the advantage, I guess, again, because every time we get upset, it really is for us. It's so that we can let go of the ego. So I had the advantage of, you could say, knowing he was lying. Not just suspecting it, but knowing, because I knew the situation he was talking about, and I knew he was being untruthful about his reaction. So when I got upset at this particular brother, this particular teacher, I was very upset. Okay, not mildly upset. I was really, really, really upset that someone could stand up as a teacher of A Course in Miracles and lie to an audience like that. And the day that it seemed to happen, the day that it happened, I couldn't even talk to Holy Spirit about it yet because I was so upset. So what I needed to do that particular day was just rest and let it be. Just let my upset be, you know, just do my best to be with it. By the next morning, I was still upset, but I was no longer as upset. I was enough clarity that I could go to Holy Spirit. And so I went to Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit showed me two things that I needed to see. See what a great advantage this was? Two things that I needed to see. The first thing Holy Spirit showed me is that the reason I was so upset to see a teacher of A Course in Miracles, a teacher stand up and lie, was because I still had that fear in my mind that the truth was not true. It seems that I was born with a fear, like we all are. We're born with fears. I was born with a fear that the truth is not true and that spirituality is really just a fantasy because we can't accept the reality of our world, and so we dream of something better, and that spirituality comes out of that dream, but that in fact it is the world that is true. And Holy Spirit showed me that when I saw a teacher lying, it triggered that fear in my mind. I got very, very afraid that if he could stand there and lie like that, that spirituality was nothing but a great big hoax. So the first thing the Holy Spirit showed me is this fear in my mind and helped me to see what a strong fear it was. And Holy Spirit taught me not to deny the fear, but to look beyond the fear within myself and to see that I don't really believe the fear. This is what Holy Spirit was able to show me. It's rather amazing because it was my strongest fear. The strongest one I've experienced so far anyway. But Holy Spirit was able to show me that I didn't really believe the fear, because if I really believed the fear, I never would go to Holy Spirit to ask for help. So that beyond my fear that the truth is not true, that spirituality is a hoax, there was a knowing in me that knew the only place I could go for true help and true answers was a Holy Spirit. Was something beyond this world. And so Holy Spirit helped me that whenever this fear came up, and the fear still came up repeatedly for a couple of years after that before I finally had the opportunity to let go of it fully, because really this was my greatest fear. But Holy Spirit helped me that every time the fear came up, to again look at the fact that I didn't really believe it. That no matter how afraid I was, it was always Holy Spirit I turned to for help. So you could say Holy Spirit taught me to look at the truth instead of the false. And the truth was, I did know that the truth was true. And that's why I went to the truth for help. The second thing that came out of this particular circumstance is that Holy Spirit showed me that I valued honesty. And that sounds good, doesn't it? Valuing honesty sounds good. But Holy Spirit showed me that if we value anything to the point that it can separate us from our brothers, it's something we need to let go of. If I value honesty, then when a brother lies, I feel justified in judging him. Therefore, the value is a part of my ego filter that separates. This value says, he is dishonest, I am honest. It's like the face of innocence that the Course speaks about. And Holy Spirit showed me that this value had to be let go. It didn't have to be let go to where I do not have integrity within myself. And in fact, integrity I would define now as always doing my best to let go of ego and listen to Holy Spirit. And I absolutely must have that integrity within myself if I want to awaken. I must always do my best to let go of ego and listen to Holy Spirit. But to use honesty as a value to judge my brothers is nothing but a separation device. Now, the reason I went into this little story is because Honeybee Rose asked, was there resistance? And I said there wasn't resistance in letting go of the first story, the hugging at the conferences. But there was resistance, Rose, in letting go of honesty as a core value. This was so in me that I felt like I had the willingness to let it go, but a part of me felt like I needed to reach inside my mouth, down my throat, into my guts, and yank my guts out and give it to Holy Spirit. So this was tougher, this letting go of honesty as a value. So what I had to do, since this was so hard, was I had to be patient with myself. I had to just keep giving willingness. I had to notice that the error was a separation device and just keep noticing that. And I don't know exactly how long it took to let go of honesty as a value, but I do know that now when people do not appear to be honest, I am totally okay with it. I know now that I do not judge based on whether somebody else is being honest or not. I do not judge them. So at some point, that did just disappear and die. And in fact, I had a great opportunity to test that because, as it turns out, this same teacher, several months later, I happened to see an email chain. I don't even know why I was CC'd on the email chain because I wasn't involved in the discussion at all. But I happened to see the email chain between this teacher and a couple. And so I know exactly what was said. And I know exactly what this teacher said. And once again, I was listening to him teach in Pal Talk. And once again, he brought up the story. And once again, he lied. And I just giggled this time. I did not judge him. And my love for him was not affected at all. It's very hard to describe, because again, to the ego, this doesn't make sense. But, I was just okay with it. So I knew that had been healed. It just, somebody said you saw it as this call for love. In this particular case, I guess so, but I got to say more, it just didn't matter to me. I was just willing to let him be where he was, is a better way to describe it. I was just willing to let him be where he was. And I knew why he was lying. I understood that. He was lying because he wanted to look good. How many of us want to look good? We all know what that's like, right? So there was just nothing to judge. I just understood. I just understood, and I was willing to let him be where he was. That was okay with me. Now, someone else has asked, if you find someone being dishonest, do you still trust them? What I trust is Holy Spirit. I want to be very clear on that. What I trust is Holy Spirit. And because I trust Holy Spirit, I do trust my brothers. But it's different. When you trust Holy Spirit, you are listening to the voice for all of us. And so if Holy Spirit guides me to overlook my brother's seeming dishonesty and go ahead and do business with him, I do that, trusting that's within the best interest of everyone. If Holy Spirit guides me to, again, overlook my brother's dishonesty and that I don't judge him, but to change who I do business with, for example, it's not a judgment against my brother. I'm absolutely as certain that's what's in the best interest for everyone. What I do my best to do is not make decisions for myself. This is one of the greatest errors that we make. We make decisions for ourselves. This is what we need to learn to let go of. If we can learn to check within with Spirit, we get guidance in all things. So I could say that my brother's dishonesty is meaningless to me. I would not make my decision about whether I would do business with him or not do business with him, or be in relationship with him or not be in relationship with him, based on dishonesty. The dishonesty is meaningless. I would always make that decision based on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So hopefully that answers that question. And Rose asked another question that I also wanted to answer, and I need to scroll up to get it. Oh, she asked me if I felt guilt before I let go of what was in my mind in that original story, which was the pushing people away. In this case, again, I did not feel guilt, but I have to say that also comes from experience. Once upon a time, earlier in the forgiveness process, I almost always felt guilt when I saw an error in my mind. Always. So Holy Spirit would be showing me an error in my mind and I would feel guilt. But what I came to see is the reason I was feeling guilt is because I was judging myself for the error. Or said in the language of A Course in Miracles, I was looking at the error with the ego, because the ego is the one that judges. And so what's happened with me over time as I work with Holy Spirit is that a shift has occurred in my mind. The shift that has occurred in my mind is that I do not judge myself for my errors anymore. And because I do not judge myself for my errors, I do not feel guilt. See, that's where the guilt comes from. It's an effect of the judgment. The judgment is cause. And the real reason I do not judge myself for my errors anymore is exactly what Holy Spirit is talking about in this message that I'm reading now. It's that I learn to see these as opportunities to let go of the ego. I learn to be grateful to see my errors. I learn to be happy to see my errors. Truly grateful. Because again, we're here to let go of the ego, and we cannot let go of the ego if we do not see it. So, instead of judging myself when I see an error now, I'm grateful. And when I come from that different place, there is no guilt, of course, because there was no judgment. So, it was a roundabout conversation, but I think it was probably all useful. What I'm going to do, since we took a roundabout conversation, is I'm going to go back and I'm going to read the last paragraph that I read again. That will get us back into the gist of the message, and then I'll continue reading forward. I just posted the link again for people who have shown up in the room. So, here we go. This is the message I received from Holy Spirit when I was guided to start the foundation for the Holy Spirit. And here's, again, the paragraph I just read. Through the operation of this foundation, circumstances will arise that will seem to bring the unhealed areas of your mind into awareness for healing. Remember that healing is the purpose for the awareness. As you see anything that is not the peace and joy of me, remember that it is presented to you for healing. Each opportunity for healing is an important part of your path. Seize each opportunity in the complete willingness of the moment, and your path to healing will be straight and without delay. Do you see how there's no judgment there for finding your errors? Just, it's an opportunity. This is what we're here for, to let go of the ego. All right, let me take a drink of water, and then I'll go to the next paragraph. Know that each opportunity brings with it strong temptation to listen to self-will. Each opportunity is self-will calling out to be listened to. And so, each opportunity must be a time of quiet focus on what you truly want. Do not take any opportunity lightly. Do not brush them aside. Look at each one and see the options that are set before you, and then choose with your heart. So this goes back to the three-step process I described earlier. The first thing that happens is I have to see the opportunity. If we use the example of when I was in my mind pushing people away at conferences, the first thing I had to see was the desire to push people away. That was the strong temptation to listen to self-will. That was self-will calling out to be listened to, the belief in separation, right? Stranger. Push this person away. Even though I hugged them, the pushing away was occurring in the mind. So I had to see that opportunity. And then, the second step, each opportunity must be a time of quiet focus on what you truly want. I told you that the second step was always remembering what I want. I, and when I say I in this case, I would be pointing at my heart and not my head. I, the real I, the one that chose to be on a path of healing, the one that is choosing to let go of ego. I do not want to push people away. I do not want to label people as strangers. I do not want to judge my brother for any reason. Not for lying, not for stealing, not for anything. So again, the first step is noticing the self-will speaking up. Push this person away. Judge this person. Reject this person. The second step is stepping away from that desire for self-will, pausing in a moment of stillness and remembering what I want. And then the third step is choosing again. As it says here, look at each one, each opportunity, and see the options that are set before you. I have the option of seeing this person as a stranger or seeing this person as a friend with a capital F. I have the option of seeing this person as a liar or seeing this person as my brother, the same as me. Look at the options. And then choose with my heart. And I know what my heart says because I just looked at what I want. I want to see everyone as friends. I want to see everyone as the same as me. I want to see everyone through love. And so I make that choice. The interesting thing is that many of us would like to make that choice once and be done with it. And so what happens when the next person comes up and hugs us and we see the desire to push them away, we slip into judging ourselves because we forgave it once and here it is again. But what we really need to be willing to do is to practice this three-step process over and over and over again until we don't need to practice it anymore. I told you that with the desire to push people away at conferences. In San Francisco, I needed to practice. When people came up to me after the illness ended, I still saw that desire to push them away. I had to look at the desire. I had to remember what I wanted. And I had to choose to welcome them. It was a conscious choice, a three-step process. At the next conference that I went to, I had to do that again. But by the next conference, I didn't even have to think about it. Because by then the shift had occurred and I was naturally welcoming to everyone, seeing everyone as my friend with a capital F, regardless of whether I met them before or not. But I had to practice more than once. It was a decision that I repeated over and over again. So this is what we want to be willing to do. To just stick with our practice until the shift occurs. So again, this paragraph says, know that each opportunity brings with it strong temptation to listen to self-will. Each opportunity is self-will calling out to be listened to. And so each opportunity must be a time of quiet focus on what you truly want. Do not take any opportunity lightly. Do not brush them aside. Look at each one and see the options that are set before you. And then choose with your heart. Letting go of self-will will seem extremely difficult at times. But be grateful for these times. For these are the times in which you seem to grow the most. And I can speak now as a witness for that. When this particular message was given to me, I had gone through a few things. I'm not certain that I'd gone through any total healing yet, to be honest. I was looking at fear I was looking at judgment. But I do not think I'd gone through a total healing yet. It seems to me as I look at this on a timeline now, my first total healing was when I let go of the belief in betrayal. And that didn't happen until May of 2006. And right now we're looking at a message in March of 2006. So although I was watching my mind and becoming more aware of what was in my mind and giving willingness to have what was in my mind healed, I don't think I had experienced any total healing yet. Which means you could say I did not know from my own experience that this three-step process would work. I was practicing, and I was still scared. I still hated. I still had grievances. I still got hurt, embarrassed. But for some reason, I kept doing it. And I still do it. But now I can stand as a witness because I have experienced several what I will call total healings, which means beliefs, ideas that I used to believe in that caused me great pain have died. They've died in me, and they cannot cause me pain again. And what's nice about when a belief dies, like the belief in betrayal, the belief in rejection, you know, things like that, when they die in you, is that all situations where that belief could have been triggered, all of those situations are healed. All of the situations in the past seeming betrayals, rejections, the current one, and any possibility of them in the future. Now, Monica, I'm feeling to see what you're saying here. You can say what the three steps are in the process, please. Sure, everybody get out your pen and paper. It's time for notes. It is time for notes. I'll even pause for a second in case literally anybody has to go grab paper. I'll pause for a second. And maybe what I'll do is even type them this time as I say them. How's that? When I type and talk at the same time, I'm very slow. It'll be an opportunity for you to practice your patience. Okay, so here we go. Step one. All right. Step one is I have to see the error in my mind. I have to, what do I want to say? Admit to it doesn't sound right because some of you will associate that with guilt. I have to acknowledge it. Okay, step one. I have to see the error in my mind. I have to acknowledge it. Like see the desire to push the person away. See the desire to judge my brother as a liar. That's the first thing I have to do. The second thing, I have to remember what I truly want. I, and this again is the deeper I, the I that started the spiritual path, the I that wants to let go of ego, the I do not want to push my brothers away. I want to love everyone. I do not want to judge any brother, no matter what he seems to do. I want to be loving, forgiving, and have compassion for everyone. Then the third step is to look at my options in the situation, because there are always options, and choose with my heart. I have two options. I can push my brother away, or I can welcome him. I want to welcome him. And so I make that choice. I have two options. I can judge my brother as a liar, or I can love him right where he is. I want to love him right where he is. That's the option I want. And so I choose that with my heart. And then, as they say on shampoo, repeat as necessary. If what you are letting go of is something that you really strongly value, you may have to repeat this a hell of a lot of times. But just do it anyway. If you've never experienced a complete healing before, then you don't know the advantage of repeating this. I know that. You don't know from experience how wonderful it's going to be when one of these false beliefs truly dies and you're really free. From even one false belief is just magnificent. To be really, honestly free from even one of them is so incredibly valuable. It's really worth the repeating as necessary, I promise you. What is the title at the top of the page for these three steps? Well, I don't have a title for them. You can call them whatever you want. Whatever you want. But right now I am reading from a message called Step Away from Reliance on Self. And they're kind of embedded in there, but not quite as clearly as I just typed them out. So again, returning. Know that each opportunity brings with it strong temptation to listen to self-will. Each opportunity is self-will calling out to be listened to. And so, each opportunity must be a time of quiet focus on what you truly want. Do not take any opportunity lightly. Do not brush them aside. Look at each one. Actually, I want to stop there. As my daughter would say, rewind. There's two sentences here that I don't want to take lightly. The two sentences are, do not take any opportunity lightly. Do not brush them aside. There is a temptation in us to, I'm going to call it blow something off, which is not exactly the same as forgiveness. I might feel mildly annoyed. I'm not completely obsessed with my pain like when the teacher seemed to lie or when I got very sick at conferences. When you're completely caught up in pain, it's hard to ignore what's going on. But if you're mildly annoyed, you can just kind of blow it off. That's not the same thing as forgiveness. If you're mildly annoyed, there's something to see. And if you don't see the error in your mind, and you're just blowing it off without having seen the error in your mind, you may return to a feeling of peace, but you have not experienced a healing. So even mild annoyance is an opportunity to say, what's going on in my mind? If I just say, forget about that and go on. I haven't really missed an opportunity because I promise it's going to come back. But I didn't seize the opportunity while it was there. So Holy Spirit is saying, do not take any opportunity lightly. Do not brush them aside. That's because we do that all the time with the milder annoyances. We might as well take advantage of the mild annoyances, then maybe they never have to grow to the great pain, right? So if I'm even mildly annoyed, mildly frustrated, mildly feeling put out, I can ask Spirit what's in my mind. Because if I'm upset to any degree, it's an opportunity to let go of the ego. All right, so with that said, I'm going to begin this paragraph again. Know that each opportunity brings with it strong temptation to listen to self-will. Each opportunity is self-will calling out to be listened to. And so each opportunity must be a time of quiet focus on what you truly want. Do not take any opportunity lightly. Do not brush them aside. Look at each one and see the options that are set before you, and then choose with your heart. Letting go of self-will will seem extremely difficult at times. But be grateful for these times, for these are the times in which you seem to grow the most. Yeah, this is the paragraph I paused at last time, and I feel to pause again because I want to say how worth it is. The reason we don't do this practice is because it is hard, because it seems extremely difficult at times, because the situation seems to be causing pain. You know, I'm reminded now of the movie Revolver, which I think some of you probably know is my favorite movie. Because in the movie, Jake Green lets go of his ego, and we get to witness that. Jake Green's two teachers are teaching him about the ego before he lets go of it. You have to learn about the ego. You have to see it before you can let go of it. So they're teaching him about the ego. And they tell him, the ego hides behind your pain. That is such an important sentence. What does that mean? That means we feel pain and we turn and run. We do anything not to feel the pain. And the ego stays in place. I have never, to my knowledge, experienced a complete healing without also experiencing some degree of pain or discomfort. Because the pain or discomfort is something I made through my belief in the false belief. I made it. It's there. Now what I want to do is I want to let myself experience it without believing it again. And this is what sets me free. But if I'm too afraid to let myself experience any pain or discomfort, the ego can just sit behind that wall and giggle because it's safe. It's so safe. And as long as the ego is safe, there's going to be fear, there's going to be grievance, there's going to be sorrow. So by avoiding pain or by thinking I'm avoiding pain, I avoid nothing, I keep it. This is why Jesus tells us in the Course that you walk through the darkness to the light. So this paragraph I just read says, letting go of self-will will seem extremely difficult at times, but be grateful for these times. And I want to echo that from my heart, out of love, as a witness. As someone who's walked through this dark tunnel many times and knows that it's worth it. Like I said, it's worth it to be free of even one false belief. Every time we let go of one, we have a true total healing. Every time we're happier or clearer, we're more aware of the love that we are. Each and every one of them. So letting go of self-will will seem extremely difficult at times. But be grateful for these times. For these are the times in which you seem to grow the most. And then Holy Spirit says, I am your focus in all things now. Stay with me as the one you trust. Do not rely on yourself for anything. For each time you trust your little s self, you weaken your faith in me. Another opportunity that came up for me through this foundation. Remember, the message came to me when I was guided to start the foundation. Another opportunity that came up to me was the publishing of NTI. We became aware that it definitely was going to be a book. We were given a title. We were given a cover. And there were already a lot of students of the book, a few hundred at least, because as you guys know, as many of you know, as NTI was coming, I was posting it. So there were people who were reading it. Some started as early as I did with the very first post. And they wanted it in book form because, you know, it's a bit of a pain to print out a bunch of posts and carry them around in a binder. So although they already had the book, they wanted it in book form. It would be more convenient. But I received guidance not to look for a publisher. I was told that one would be provided for me. Now, if you guys know anything about the world, that breaks all the rules. You're supposed to look and look like crazy. Expect like 30 rejections and don't quit because you'll finally get someone to say yes, right? I was told not to look at all. Friends from all over were sending me recommendations of who they thought I should submit this to. But I just kept feeling, no, wait, 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 wait. This went on for months. I seemed to be sitting on this book and doing nothing to get it published. And at least one friend became very annoyed with me and, in fact, yelled at me, told me I was blowing it. And I got to tell you, my self-doubt came up for a moment there. But then I remembered to trust Spirit in everything. If I was to rely on my little s self and get out there and hit the streets and try to publish this book, my faith in Spirit would weaken. My faith in Regina would grow. I would know Regina could get things done. But that's faith in the ego. My job was to follow this guidance. And so I did. And one day, I was guided through Dove, which is funny because I always knew that the guidance would somehow come through Dove. I was guided through Dove to call Nook Sanchez just to get to know her. This is when she was kind of new, hitting the scene, and she was networking, getting to know everyone. And Nook suggested that I send NTI to her publisher. And I said, oh no, I'm waiting for guidance on who to send NTI to. And she says, Regina, I think you've got a green light on this one. And as soon as she said that, it's as if every cell in my body began to giggle and dance and vibrate. And I knew that my time of waiting was over. I had done nothing, and a publisher had been provided. Sometimes it takes great willingness not to depend on our little s self, not to get things done our way. I have another situation now where I'm trusting. I see the desire for me to take control and get it done, and I know better, so I'm not. But Spirit told me in this guidance, when I started the Foundation for Holy Spirit, I, Holy Spirit, am your focus in all things now. Stay with me as the one you trust. Do not rely on yourself in anything, for each time you trust your little s self, you weaken your faith in me. And I do not want to weaken my faith in Spirit. So when I see the temptation to take control and get something done my way, I need to practice that three-step process again, right? First, I notice the desire to take control and get it done. Second, I remember what I want. I want to let go of little s self-reliance and be reliant instead fully on Spirit. And then three, I look at my options. I can take control or I can set back and trust and let Spirit guide in all things. And I choose from the heart. I release control and I let Spirit lead. This message ends with, give all trust to me. Give all circumstances to me. Step away from reliance on self. So that's it. That was my guidance for the Foundation for the Holy Spirit. And it makes perfect sense because it's not the foundation for Regina Donakers. It's the foundation for the Holy Spirit. So it makes perfect sense that Spirit would take the reins and take this foundation where it wants the foundation to go. Not me, right? I'm just the servant. A grateful servant, a happy servant. But it's not my foundation. So thank you, everyone. That's it for today. I will be back on Wednesday. Sunflower is asking if I have any teachings from Holy Spirit on betrayal. No, I just have my own story, but it's time for me to go now, so I can't tell that story. I'll be happy to tell it another time, Sunflower. If you're in the room when I'm teaching, prompt me early in the teaching. And I'll tell you about betrayal and what I saw and how I let it go, okay? All right. Bye, everyone.